Matt Carr, thank you for having a brief catch up with me today. Really interested to hear about what's been going on with you and the business. You run a pasty production business up in the north. I'll get you to give a little kind of one-on explanation as that, but what's been happening for you in the business in the last couple of weeks? Tell us what's been going on.
Yeah, we're a retail and wholesale producer of pasties and pies. We have three retail shops in Bolton, in Greater Manchester, and 100 staff. We have a production element of our business as well. So what's been going on is there's been increasing pressure on our retail shops from a government's advice point of view, but also a kind of a moral point of view, where should we be open now? Are we actually helping, or are we harming the big effort to make sure everybody stays indoors and stays safe? So since the Chancellor's announcement of the possibility of 80% furloughed pay for people who are sent home, that really gave us cause to have quite a big debate for the following 3 days, until on the Monday we were able to say that Carl's Pasties is going into hibernation with a very, very heavy heart. We were doing our best to deliver frozen food to the old and vulnerable. We were doing our best to keep everything going in the face of people being sent home for self-isolation, or maybe they had health issues themselves that put them at high risk. So it was chaotic. It was exhausting. It was very high pressure. But I think our choice to go into hibernation was ultimately the correct thing to do.
Okay, so it sounds like the job retention scheme is pretty transformational for you. It's allowed you to take a decision to, one, be responsible, and two, look after your people. How did you communicate with staff? How did you tell them what was going on and kind of lessen their worries a little bit?
Everything moved so fast. I can't believe that from the announcement that we made on Monday to Tuesday, where we were pretty much wound down, I couldn't believe that was only 24 hours. And the preceding 3 days, also was very intense. And it was a weekend as well, so there wasn't much chance to be communicating to everybody. And we've got different departments. We were in touch with our managers. We were sort of trying to say business as usual as much as possible. But there were a lot of closed doors, behind the scenes discussion. It's just the way it had to be because of the speed at which the decision had to be made. So it did come as a shock to our employees when we got everybody together and announced, we got everybody together in a 2 meter apart huddle in the bakery, and announced that we were going into hibernation. We actually said to them for 12 weeks, because we wanted to, you know, for 12 weeks and then an indefinite amount of time, because we just wanted to put across how serious it is. We wanted everybody to go home and stay safe, and, you know, not keep to the government advice. We wanted to change everybody's mindsets, but there were tears and it was upsetting. We have a great team. There were different types of tears. One was concerned that there might not be a job to go back to. One was a self-concern, not a self-concern, but a company concern. Is the company going to go bust? And there were also people who really have got me thinking now for what's coming up. I can't go home. My job is the best thing about my life. I'm worried about my own mental health. Now, they didn't articulate that, but it came out as the shock and the tears that came out. I noticed that some people were like, oh God, like as if they'd just been sentenced to prison, you know, and those people, you know, I am still concerned about. So yeah, the communication was necessarily short and sharp, but now we want to be able to support them in any way we can.
Fantastic. So you've looked after your staff as you can. In terms of fixed costs, what have you done to look at those and try and drive those down to as manageable a level as possible?
So we're a family firm. My dad had a certain set of values that we've taken on to the third generation, and me and my brothers make decisions according to those those values. And a lot of them are take your time, don't spend unless you can afford to. And as a result, we don't have lease contracts on our vans. We don't. We own the shops that we have, apart from one in a shopping centre. We don't. Our monthly costs, don't get me wrong, are large. There's a lot of monthly outgoings. But actually, if we don't trade, there's a lot of things that we own the land that we're on. We own the machinery. We pay up front for things. And so that pressure is less for us than it is for other companies. Mm-hmm. We have approached others. It's really difficult, though. If you go to the owner of a shopping centre to say, we don't want to pay rent anymore because we're not trading, well, neither are they. And the only income they have is the income that we're paying them. There's a real pressure, I think, out there. I've spoken to a number of other businesses that haven't got a clue what to do at the moment because they look at their costs of sale. Well, costs of sale obviously disappear, hopefully. But if you're a service industry or whatever, then all the other stuff, the admin costs of running a business, don't just go away when you stop trading and when you furlough everybody. So we just need to be grown up about that. So, yeah, look, yes, we've taken action before people. Yes, I'm proud of leading because some of our trade customers that we have stopped supplying to are, for example, places in the suburbs of Bolton where lots and lots of pensioners visit. And they've got in touch with us to say, I think you made the right choice and it's inspired me to shut down as well. And now there's one less reason for old people to be out on the streets. So yeah. We feel good that we've made the right decision. But on the other hand, we're lucky that we could make this decision. When we looked at our cash flow, mm-hmm. which our negative cash flow, month on month, we found that with the 80% furlough arrangement and the promise of a loan in the future, we got comfortable quite quickly. Plus, the stuff that we're still paying for, we're not furloughing everybody. We've got a marketing person. We've got a finance controller. So the stuff that we're paying for, like Xero and our websites and all of that, we can continue. Anybody that we've got on a retainer, we're going to be working hard, hopefully. Because we've got a lot of work to do when we come back. We want to come back with a raw, and we could do that with a change in marketing and maybe a website refresh and all that kind of things.
So what will you and your brothers and the rest of the team that are still working, what is the focus on? Because this is probably a window which you never really thought you'd have before. Trading isn't happening. You've got a clear slate to work with. What are you kind of looking at as the main priorities to address and set yourself up to really hit the ground running when this all comes to an end?
So that's this week's conversation. What on earth do we do now? Mm-hmm. There are short-term things that are not to do with the business. The last 2 days have been, how can we now be of use? We have 8 vans parked up. We have people who want to volunteer. And we have people who are desperately wanting to not be in the house with whatever is going on at home. It may be that they're on their own, or maybe that they're in a small house with lots of people, or whatever it is. So I've been in touch with a lot of volunteer organisations. I'm looking at Greater Manchester Council. I'm looking at the Chamber of Commerce, looking at Bolton Council. And I want to be able to make the right decision to then make a recommendation to our employees that if you want to volunteer and if you want to make a difference, mm-hmm. for your own good and for the good of this whole cause, we recommend talking to these people. We have our own charity. It's not a charity. It's a community interest company called Rocket, which is a kids' music project. And we're putting our time into supporting the people who work in that CIC, the mentors for kids and the people who run it, our mate Simon and Julie. They are getting everything online. They've got Frank Turner to do a music challenge where people can cover his songs. And we think that is a wonderful thing for kids to do and anybody to do, to submit songs and stuff like that. So we're supporting that. The wider point, the reason I'm saying this, is I think that there's an opportunity for businesses who have furloughed staff to buddy up with a charity that is aligned with their values and capabilities and encourage their staff as much as possible to volunteer from home, or if it's something at the point of need, to get out there and help at the front line. And I think there's some work to be done from guys like you and other organisations supporting business to help businesses find those buddies. And I'm really, that's what has been occupying my last 2 days. For the next X number of weeks and months, yes, we have an opportunity to concentrate on strategy. Strategy is something that happens if you can have time for it. If you don't make time for strategy, then it's the old phrase, we need to work on the business, not in the business. Well, we're not working in the business anymore. So there's a lot of stuff that we can do. And we're looking at setting up our export mechanism to Ireland. That should be up and running by the time we open. We are looking at our packaging, so we can design and have produced and have delivered a whole new set of packaging. We can do a lot of early stage sales work. We can approach firms. We can do a lot of business development, you know, all the early stuff. We can come up with a new sales strategy. What does inbound marketing connected to a digital CRM system, and what does that cadence, that level of cadence of sales points that you have to come across, you know, that you have to get through? This old-fashioned word pipeline apparently isn't a thing anymore. You know, it's more about delighting the customers that come and inquire. So we can really focus and learn about what modern marketing techniques look like, and get something in place and have a program of experimentation for when we come out of hibernation.
Well, fantastic to hear that. It's been a big couple of weeks for you, but sounds like you've done as much as you can to really look after your staff and start thinking about the future. So thank you very much for sharing that, Matt.
Thank you, Hunter.